Oh, good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. I just want to make sure you're awake. I'm just very pleased to know that we had a sign up for small groups the last couple few weeks, and I'm very pleased that of our adult small groups, about 210 people have signed up for that. And if you include our Sojourner small groups as they're part of our congregation here as well, you add another 50 to that. There's about 260 people in our congregation who signed up for small groups. And I'm very, very happy to see that because it is the place where life takes place in our church. Now, Sunday morning is just a very small time in our week where we come together to worship and praise God together. But the working out of our faith, the sharing of our faith, the deepening of our faith takes place in small groups. And I'm just so joyous of that. And for those of you who haven't signed up yet, now, you may not get your first choice now, but please do sign up and be part of the small group ministry. You know, as we have been doing the last few months and into probably next year, we've been looking at the book of Acts. And the book of Acts has a lot to do with the early church coming together, the formation of the early church, as Pastor Brian preached on. And as we look at the formation of the early church, we realize that many of the people, whether Peter, John, Paul, whoever, a lot of the disciples continue to grow and to share in their faith with one another. I think that's such a key element of that early church, that they're not afraid to share who Christ is, not able to afraid to share about their walk with God, their testimony, their witness. And so as a result of that, we decided as the leadership team of our English congregation that we would invite each of our small groups and our small group leaders to help us out. More importantly, to help you out in terms of knowing how to share your faith with others. And as a Christian, I would say there's nothing that compares the joy of leading someone to Christ. There's nothing that compares to that. There's nothing that compares to when you share your life with others. Others take interest in who Christ is in your life. They see it in your life. And so we have asked our small group leaders to help us out in that way. And in that sense, I asked you as a congregation to also be a part of this whole process that we're doing. We are asking our small group leaders to help us out in terms of equipping you to know how to share your faith. How to witness to your friends. How to pray for people in a meaningful way that you genuinely care for them and you're praying for them on a daily and a weekly basis. And in all that, as we prepare ourselves, as 1 Peter says, as we are preparing ourselves to always have an answer for the question that people ask us, who do we believe in? And let us be prepared. And so I encourage those of you who are part of small groups, you know, to take part in this Bursting Your Bubble small group series that each of our small groups will be going through sometime this year. Some of you guys are starting early in the year. Some of you guys are starting after Christmas. Some of you are starting maybe later on in the year. You know, there's various creative ways that you guys can roll this in and make it work in your group. You may be able to do it on a weekly basis for 7 weeks in a row, or you may be able to want to do it as a weekend retreat with your small groups and get a lot of it done at that time. But I really pray and hope that God would use this tool, Bursting Your Bubble, and the information is in the bulletin in front of you. I won't go through that. I really pray that God would use this tool to equip us to share His Word, to share our own testimony, so that when the time comes and the Spirit of God gives us that opportunity, we are ready to share our faith with one another. This is what the book of Acts is about. So let's all get involved in this. Let's all be at the at the ability for God to use us at any moment as we share our faith with our friends, our colleagues, our co-workers, our families. So I ask you to really be involved in this way as we participate together as a church, as a congregation. I want to ask you, how many of you know of people who may be struggling with an illness of some sort? They're struggling with some injury of some kind. They're struggling with some type of health issue, whether it be physical, emotional, spiritual. Do you guys know of people like that? Yeah. I mean, many of us do, if not most of us. or we ourselves may be going through it. We ourselves may be going through this health issue. It's something very real, something very near in our lives. It happens, whether we know of people or we ourselves are going through it. You know, last week in Acts chapter 2, we looked at the formation of the early church, and we realized that as the church came together, various things happened. And those who accepted his message, it says in Acts 2:41, those who accepted his message, Peter's message of proclaiming Christ, were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. When I read through this passage again this week, you know, this verse here really stuck out to me. You know, everyone was filled with awe at many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. What were these wonders and signs? What is it that Luke was referring to when he said this, when he wrote this? On chapter 3, verse 1, the passage we're looking at today, Luke recalls one of these signs and wonders for us to hear about. And so let's turn to that. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. So, Father, we come before you this day. We read words like these, and sometimes we don't know how to take it. We read of wonders and signs and miracles, and people are amazed at what took place. And that's all good. But what does that mean for us today? And so, Father, we pray that you would come by your Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts directly, O Lord Jesus, as to how you want to have this passage of Scripture influence and affect our lives today. Increase our faith, we pray, that we may be able to trust in your miraculous ways. For you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, Father, we pray that you would come, that you would do your work in your church today. In Jesus' name, amen. As we read this passage, what was the man's condition? Imagine if you were this man. Imagine being disabled your whole life. Imagine you cannot walk. You cannot run. Imagine you cannot play when the rest of the kids around you played. Imagine you were very different than everyone else. You have no job. You have no salary. You have no family to call your own. You have no future. You're not only physically disabled, not physically dependent, but you're also financially dependent as well for others to support you throughout your life. You may wonder, why does this happen to you? You've probably sought out many people to help with your condition in the past, whether it be doctors or healers or miracle workers, and maybe even God. But nothing has helped. Nothing has happened. And you begin to wonder, does God not hear my prayer? Does he not care for me? Does he not see my need? You may be someone who is here today, and you're thinking similar thoughts about your own life. Does God really know my situation? Does God hear me? So what did God do for the man? What did God do for the man? On this day, when Peter and John showed up, the man did not ask to be healed. Maybe because he thought it was impossible. So why ask? So he just asked for what he needed in order to survive. Do we also come before the Lord with a similar type of attitude? With a resigned spirit, so to speak? Now, instead of money, Peter had something better to give to the man. Silver and gold I do not have, he says, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And then something miraculous happens. After 40 years, Luke writes in chapter 4, verse 22, after 40 years of not being able to walk, after 40 years of not being able to do the normal things that everyone else could, God healed him. God healed him. Now, Peter didn't just stand back and watch the man struggle to his feet. He actually reached out his hand to him to help him up. And instantly, the Bible says, the man's feet and ankles became strong and agile, such that he jumped to his feet and began to walk. God healed this man. But he was also able to use Peter and John and their willingness, their availability to bless this man's life, to show through them, through Peter and John, God's compassion, God's love, God's faith, and God's hope. And so what was the man's response? What was this man's response? Well, the man testified. He witnessed, and he praised the Lord, Scripture says. Can you imagine being disabled your whole life, and then God heals you? What would you do? What would I do? The man jumped up and down, walking, leaping, and praising God. It was actually a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy concerning the coming of the Messiah. In Isaiah 35, it says this, when the Messiah comes, these are signs of what would take place. Then will the lame leap like a deer. So this miracle is a sign that Jesus Christ is indeed the Messiah as he's come to heal people. We thank God for this disabled man, because through him we can see the glory of God. Through him we can see what it means to be thankful. Through him and through his life, we can see what it means to worship God wholeheartedly. Brothers and sisters, God heals us in order for us to be a witness to others of the power and the wonder of God. So we need to speak about the miraculous wonders. We need to speak about the miracles, the healings, and testify to and of God's glory. Now, in recent days, I can see that we are doing that as a church. In recent days, I can see that we are doing this as a church. We're praising God, we're thanking God for what he's doing in our midst. And some of you guys are doing amazing things. You're trusting in the Lord at the hardest times in your life. Some people said that our faith is truly tested when we're at the pit of our life. And I see some of you doing that. Not only do I see some of you doing that, I see some of you going and being the Peter and John and going and helping those people, being part of God's miraculous work in people's life, praying for others. Now, Libby, I thank you. I thank you for what God is doing through you. I thank you for your daily posts that you have on Facebook. You know, I was talking to your mom, Grace, just the other day. And Grace was saying, you know, Libby, this was like a few years ago. You know, Libby just tells too much about herself on Facebook. She discloses too much information about herself. This was years ago, right? And then now, you know, with every post that we read every day, every night, you're testifying of God's glory. You're witnessing of the work of God in your midst, in your husband's life, and in your family. So Grace, all this time that she was doing all this years ago was a preparation for such a time as this, that she can glorify and witness for the Lord in such intimate details, in such God-glorifying details. And praise the Lord for what God is doing in our midst. Praise the Lord for those of you who went last Sunday after service. Some of you went to the hospital and you worshiped with Cliff by his hospital bed. You know, you took a guitar along and you sang worship songs, and he was able to close his eyes and worship the Lord. You know, when I visited him today, last week, I asked him, you know, what is it that you want to say to your congregation, to the people in this congregation? And Cliff just said, you know, I want to thank those who came out last Sunday after church. You know, they brought the worship of the Lord to him in his hospital bed. So I want to say, way to go, church. Way to go for stepping up and doing what God wants us to do. When we are in the midst of a miracle, when we are seeing miraculous things happening right before our eyes, we cannot stay quiet. We cannot stay as if nothing has happened. We cannot go to work and not proclaim what we saw. The prayers that were answered 2.5 weeks ago, when the miracle happened in our midst, and God healed Cliff on that night, we cannot keep quiet about those things. How can we? So let's continue to witness, testify, to jump up and down, and to praise the Lord. Amen? So what was the people's response? What was the people's response? Well, Scripture says the people were filled with wonder and amazement. You see, those with physical disabilities were not allowed to go into the temple to worship. But once this man was healed, he was able to go into the temple to worship and to praise the Lord. You know, when people who do not know the ways of God, when they see the mighty acts of God and how He has healed us, how He has healed you, believe me, they take notice. They take notice of those things. And so what do? When we pray? When we pray, we just invite the name of Jesus into a particular situation, so that Jesus can heal us. We invite the name of Jesus into a particular situation so that Jesus can raise people from their impossible circumstances, because His name is power. His name has power. You know, in the Gospels, there are many instances of when Jesus healed people while He was still living on earth. I mean, in those days, you could just go up to Jesus and ask for healing. And Matthew 9 says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. So when we read this, it's all good. You know, it's all good that we can read about Jesus healing people in the Bible. But the question that remains in our minds as we hear these words, does God still heal today? Does God still heal today? Does Jesus still heal us? Is healing something that occurred only in the past? Can Jesus still heal our loved ones? Can he still heal our families, our friends? Can Jesus heal me? Jesus said to his disciples, both then and now, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, Jesus says, they will drive out demons. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. Throughout this book of Acts, throughout the whole book of Acts, the disciples continued to preach and to teach, to heal the sick, to cast out demons in the name of Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit. This accompanied the work of those who preach the gospel. A lot of you know, and so I'm not going to go into telling the story again, of the many things we've seen in recent days about Elder Cliff, so I'm not going to go into that. But I encourage you to read this family news. Now, I didn't know this would take place. I just saw this on Friday. I didn't know that this would take place in our bulletin this Sunday. But this family news tells the story of a man in our Cantonese congregation at Knight Street who was miraculously healed by the Lord. I encourage you to take it home, to read it. Because God is a God of miracles. Because our God is a God who heals. Because our God is a God who continues to do his work amongst his people. And through his miraculous works, his word is confirmed. Is everyone healed in this life? No. Do all of God's people receive healing? Yes. The question is only one of when. Whether we receive healing on this earth or one day in eternity. You come to this church. You come to this church week in and week out. I don't know if you know, but we are a Christian and Missionary Alliance church. What do we believe about who Jesus is? What is the CNMA distinctive? What is the fourfold gospel that we talk about? Those of you who become members of our church, this is drilled into you. It's not just the fact that there are four gospels in the Bible, no. It's not because there are four gospels of Jesus Christ, no. In your bulletin, you'll see this symbol on the top right-hand corner of your front of the bulletin. This is who we believe Jesus Christ is. This is who we as the Alliance Church, the Christian Missionary Alliance, believe as to who Christ is. Who can tell us what the cross stands for? This is easy, okay? I hope you can get this right. What does the cross stand for? Christ our Savior. Great. Christ our Savior. And then on the far right, that glass, which actually is more of a bowl. It's a stone basin. And so what does that symbol on the right represent? Christ our, we had Savior. Christ our, okay, sanctifier. Christ our sanctifier. And the word sanctify just means made holy. Christ makes us holy. When we become a Christian, we're formed into an image of Christ. We continue to grow in holiness like Christ. Okay, so that's easy. And then the far left, that picture, what does that stand for? Christ our Okay, Christ our healer. The pitcher represents a pitcher of oil. And in the Bible, oil represents the presence of the Holy Spirit. And as we pray, we receive healing. And then lastly, of course, you know what the crown stands for, right? Christ our coming King. So Jesus Christ, we believe, is our Savior. He is our sanctifier. Christ is our healer. We believe that even today. And Christ is our coming King. I want to share with you a very moving testimony. It's about 12 minutes long. So please, listen to this, because I found this testimony very, very meaningful. In October 2008, an unknown illness suddenly overtook a man by the name of John Stumble, who was a pastor of the Salem Alliance Church. And in the months that followed, the illness nearly cost John his life. It left him with severely diminished muscle capacities, and among other things, debilitating afflictions and the inability to swallow. He accounts through his story and testimony the riches of Christ and what Christ means to him. And through his life's most daunting trials that he's gone through, the darkest night of the soul, he wants to share with us who Christ means to him. So I want you to please look at this and be encouraged by it.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story of faith, story of my life. It's a story of Christ, our Savior, actually. I was 47. I was as healthy as any 47-year-old that I knew, running marathons and ultramarathons, pastoring a church, loving my family. Took a lot of things for granted, I think, like the ability to eat. But it was an October day when I noticed that I had a rash in my body. Blamed my wife, thought she must have changed the laundry detergent. And then a day or two later, I noticed that my arms were starting to swell up. What was happening in my arms started to work its way down into my legs. And in just a few days' time, I went from being able to run 20 miles almost effortlessly to not being able to walk a few blocks or climb the stairs. The doctors started to run tests, and in the weeks that followed, I went downhill rapidly until the point that I needed to be hospitalized. One of my last conscious memories was a doctor standing next to my bed with my chart in his hand, and he said, "I've never seen somebody with blood levels so messed up and still be alive." Well, I would slip in and out of consciousness for a few days, and then for 5 days was completely unconscious. Joanna was brought back in the room numerous times because I might not make it for the next hour or through the night. People asked me, "Did you see heaven?" I wish I would have. That would have been fun, but I think I felt heaven, actually. You know how layers of emotions are experienced deeper than you ever realize were there, like when a tragedy hits or some extremely joyful moment happens in your life and you never remembered ever feeling so happy? Well, that happened for me with the emotion of peace, a peace beyond anything that I could fathom was mine somewhere in that period of unconsciousness. My first waking thought was being in this sea of peace, this ocean of peace. And then my eyes gradually opened up, and like an aperture of a camera, and I realized that people had gathered from all over the country to stand at my bedside, and I didn't know that I had about died numerous times in those days. In the days that followed, I was conscious for numerous tests that they ran on my body, muscle biopsies, skin biopsies, lumbar biopsy. They sent my blood and body parts all over the United States of America trying to figure out what was wrong with me. When I was finally released from ICU at one of the top research hospitals in the Pacific Northwest, one of their leading doctors looked at me and said, "Well, you stumped us all. I guess we'll have to call it the Stumbo syndrome because we really don't know what it was that you had." It really hasn't bothered me that they weren't able to diagnose what was going on, because this whole journey has been mysterious. This whole issue, how quickly it arose and what's become of it, is something beyond just the normal. There's a story of God in here somewhere. One of the most incredible things for me in that season of hospitalization was that my faith was put to a test in a way that I had never had it tested before. I laid there on my bed in that ICU ward, day after day, unable to move a muscle, couldn't use a call button, couldn't roll over in bed, couldn't scratch my nose when it itched. I laid there completely helpless as the disease, whatever it was, had attacked all my muscular system. I had nothing to do but think. And as I laid there and thought, I kept playing a scenario over and over in my head. If this would happen, then that would happen. If that would happen, then that'll happen. If that happens, I die. And if I die, then I'll be with Jesus. What a great thing to know that if the worst scenario takes place, that the end result is something beautiful. That the worst that can happen is I'm going to be with Jesus forever. How good is that? I want to testify. I want to be a witness. I want to celebrate that the Christian faith, when put to the test at its most extreme moment, the test of a deathbed, was solid. It stands the test. We talk about Christ our Savior. It can just be a theological point sometimes. But I want to celebrate that when I needed a Savior, the one to take me on into eternity, that I found that He was there for me. So I hadn't swallowed in almost a year and a half. It was getting pretty discouraging. 4 times the medical doctors had verified what I knew to be true. My throat and swallow was completely inoperable. I was getting strong enough in other areas of my body, though, that I was driving again and was able to walk with the use of a cane. And we decided that we'd go on a road trip to thank some of the people who'd prayed for us across the country. We loaded 9 cases of feeding tube formula into the back of the car because that was my sole source of nutrition. We got to St. Louis, Missouri on our road trip and stopped at a hotel for the night. The next morning I was having my devotions and I was reading from Psalm 108 that talks about the help of man is worthless. I kind of laughed when I saw that sentence, because in all of this journey of trying to take care of my lack of ability to swallow, there was no help from man yet. The verse then said, "We will act valiantly, but victory comes from the Lord." And I was reading those verses as I was pouring my mixture down my feeding tube. And the feeding tube gets stuck. Now, this had happened a few times before. They give you a plunger that goes with a syringe in case that happens, and you give it a little push and it goes poof inside your stomach, and it's okay, it's not a big deal. Push as hard as I could, which isn't very hard because I'm weak, but I pushed and still couldn't get it to budge. I stood up and leaned against the hotel room wall with all my weight and tried to get the thing to break loose, and nothing would happen. Joanna came back in the room and I said, "Honey, my feeding tube's stuck, can you help take care of me here?" And she came over, just figuring it'd be normal, and she'd come over and push on it, but again, she couldn't get it to go. I said, "Honey, push as hard as you can, because this is my sole source of medication, hydration, nutrition. Nothing goes down the throat, everything goes in the tube." I'll never forget this moment as she's leaning over me. I'm in a roller chair, a desk chair, and I'm next to a sliding glass window in the hotel room. And she's pushing with all of her might. Her muscles are shaking as she's pushing on this plunger. And I think, oh boy, if this thing goes, it's going to blow me right out the back window here. She couldn't get it to budge. My feeding tube was completely inoperable. Great, here we are, half a continent away from my doctor, and my feeding tube's inoperable. She says, what should we do? I said, well, let's just get in the car and drive. There's plenty of emergency rooms between St. Louis and Kentucky, where we were heading next. So we got back into the car and started heading down the road with my feeding tube inoperable, and we started to pray, as we'd done many times before. I looked over and tears were streaming down Joanna's face as she calls out to God quietly, and like Hannah in 1 Samuel, silently calling out to God for a miracle. I know it sounds odd to a lot of people. I'd never heard of it before, but I was doing what's called recreational eating at the time, where you chew on a little bit of food and spit it back out. It keeps you from going completely crazy by the fact that you never taste food, and it keeps your muscles from completely atrophying. I had some leftover yogurt from the breakfast bar because I hadn't been able to get it down my tube because my food tube was stuck, so I decided to suck on that a little bit while I drove. In my mind, I felt like the Spirit of God was saying, there's a part for you to do in this. Don't spit. I had spit every drop of saliva I had in the last almost a year and a half. Lived with spit rags, spit cups, paper towels, napkins. After quite a while, I showed her the yogurt container, and it had gone down 1 ounce. She said, so? I said, I haven't spit yet. Joanna reaches over and prays for my throat one more time. This time I felt the slightest movement, like something was shifting or coming alive. Faith was starting to grow in our hearts. We started to name the names of Jesus. We started to just kind of speak more boldly in prayer and in faith. I asked for a sip of orange juice, and I felt the amazing sensation of that orange juice making its way down, and then the tiniest little burp started to emerge from deep down inside me. The life was coming back where there had been nothing but stillness and death for so long. We pulled over at a gas station in Grayville, Illinois, and I took the spit cup that was in the beverage container in our vehicle and threw it away in the garbage can. We held each other and we declared it together, greater is he that is in me than the disease that attacks me. Greater is he that is in me than the one that opposes me. Greater is he that is in me than anything that's against us. And we held each other and we cried because we believed that we were in the middle of a miracle. It was happening, it was unfolding right before us. We got back in the car and I continued to work on that yogurt, and I will never forget the moment of seeing the bottom of a 4 ounce red raspberry yogurt cup. I could see the bottom, it's like, where'd it go? We pulled over at a rest stop and grabbed the first guy that was walking by and handed him our camera and said, take a picture of us. He's still wondering why he took a picture of this crazy couple with yogurt cups in their hand. Christ is our healer, and he is able to do anything in any moment and any time and any person. His power is unlimited, and it's not confined to anything. But our God is also sovereign. He is in charge. He knows what's best. He is all wise. He is this God of all eternity who is not confined to the simplistic understandings that we have. So when I put together this whole concept of Christ being my healer, but God being sovereign, it just causes me to say, Lord, what is going to give you the most glory? What's going to give you the most praise? What's going to honor you the most? What's going to build your kingdom and advance your praises the most? This story that I've been telling is my unique story, I understand that, but ultimately it has to be about the glory of God. It has to be about the name of Jesus being exalted, that we did nothing. It wasn't any one individual prayer that healed me. It wasn't any one individual person. Joanne and I have delighted in the fact that this all took place in a rental car on I-64 in Illinois, where we didn't know a single soul, where nobody can get the glory for this but God alone.
Here's a recent photo just taken last few weeks of John Stumble. And just a few months ago, on June 13th, 2013, he was elected as the president of the United States CNMA, which is equivalent to Dave Hearn's role in Canada, the president of Canadian Alliance. He's elected as the United States president of the CNMA. That was important for me to know, right? Because I didn't want to show you this testimony, and all of a sudden, you know, this guy is, you know, a serial killer or whatever, right? But this is something that God has worked in the life of someone. It's a true story, even though it comes to us via video. It's a story of a man who was at the very bottom of his life. But in his simple faith, simple trust in the Lord, Jesus became his not only Savior, but became his healer as well. The Lord says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways," declares the Lord. "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." We may or may not be able to identify with John or with the physical needs of the disabled man in Acts chapter 3. But I believe that we can all relate to their feelings of helplessness, their feelings of hopelessness in their lives. In what areas of your life do you hope for healing? Is it healing from the past? Is it a physical, emotional, psychological, spiritual healing that you're seeking after? Are you seeking to be freed from a deep sense of shame, a sense of inadequacy in your life? Are you experiencing fear, hurt, doubt, defeat? Do you need prayer for healing of some sort? Our job is just to pray. To pray simply in Jesus' name. Our job is to allow God to do His perfect will in our lives. God does the healing, not us. But He heals according to His sovereign will. The Alliance doctrinal statement says this: provision is made in the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ for the healing of the mortal body. Our salvation in Christ affects each and every part of who we are as a person, including our physical health and well-being as well. Jesus' ministry is to forgive sins spiritually, for sure, but also to heal our bodies physically. Scripture says in Isaiah 53, "Surely He," that is Jesus, "took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered Him punished by God, stricken by Him, and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed." I'd like to ask our communion ushers at this time just to come forward to take the elements and to take your positions. The atoning work of Jesus Christ was not only for our iniquities, our sins, our transgressions against God, but for our physical pain, our sicknesses, and our suffering, our diseases as well. Therefore, the healing for our physical bodies was also a part of Christ's atoning work on the cross that He did for us. Jesus' death not only reverses the curse of sin, but also reverses the curse of illness and sickness and disease. Jesus died to carry away sin and sickness. God's ultimate purpose is to transform us into the image of Jesus Christ. And for God, this is the greater work that He performs in each one of us as He heals us, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. So let us be filled with faith and full of expectancy in the one who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. And so when we approach the Lord in prayer, which we'll do in just a minute, when we approach the Lord in prayer for his divine healing, for his divine touch upon us, let us remember that nothing is impossible with God. Jesus gave his disciples power and authority to heal in his name. And we, as his followers, also have this power and authority to heal in Jesus' name. The first recorded miracle after Pentecost was the story we looked at today, the healing of the disabled man in Acts chapter 3. When Peter said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." So it is Christ himself who heals. And he uses believers who have faith in him as part of his healing ministry to us. This time, I'd like to ask those who will be part of our prayer ministry team to also come forward and to receive communion first so that you can take your place at the back of the sanctuary. So please, those who are part of the prayer ministry team, come forward and receive communion first. And in just a moment, as the worship team also comes up after taking communion, they'll lead us in a song. They'll sing a song. Please go ahead and take communion. And as they lead in that song, I then invite the rest of you to come and also to receive communion. And after you receive communion, if you desire to do so, and the Lord has been speaking to you today about a certain thing in your life that you would like healing for, I'd like to invite you to then go to the back of the sanctuary after you've received communion. And there'll be ushers along the back wall who'll be praying for you in Jesus' name for you to be healed. So as the worship team leads us, please also come forward, receive communion. Take your time. This is the body of Christ. This is the blood of Christ. And through his death on the cross, he healed us of our sins spiritually, but he also heals us of our bodies physically. So come forward as the Spirit leads you, receive communion, and we invite you to the back of the sanctuary to also be prayed for as well. And then after that, or if you don't want to be prayed for, you can come back to your seats and maybe pray amongst yourselves if that's what you prefer. And we'll do that for about 8 to 10 minutes. And then after that, together, we'll sing, we'll proclaim Christ, and end the service together. I invite you to come.